リーカー His grace hath brought me safe thus far and grace will lead me on.
Now let's just remain standing if you'd like to and read our scripture. Let's turn to John, the 20th chapter. We'll read verse 19 through 23. These are well familiar scriptures. We want to try to continue along with what we were speaking on this morning. And then maybe we can tie it together and we'll see a little better what I was trying to say this morning. I know it was kind of cut and dried, but maybe the Lord will add his blessings. Anytime we read the word, then we don't have to worry about it. The Lord will add his blessings to it if we just read the word and believe it. Let's read John 20, 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Let's all pray together. Father, we ask you now that you would just come. We've read your word. We've sung about you. We've put our petitions before you. We've asked for guidance and understanding. Lord, we believe that you shall supply that. Come now and break your bread unto us that we may see ourselves and understand where we need to be in this hour. Forgive our sins. Lift us up in you. Guide us by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I was trying to get a thought across. I hope you caught the point of what I was trying to get at, that there is a heavenly place in Christ Jesus, and we'll try to just pick it up from where we left off this morning in our notes and just continue on. But tonight, mainly, I want to speak on vindication. When we get to it, you'll see, just put fifth seal, number 5, put vindication under it, and then that way you'll have something to study from your studies. I believe, I've always been a believer in that God, since I saw what he had done in the last days through the prophet and things like that, see, back in the Baptist, I believed then that there was a God. And I believe that if they'd ever been a God, then he was still God. If they'd ever been a Lord Jesus Christ that walked the shores of Galilee and healed a person, then we could expect that same God to be with us today. Well, you'll see in a minute when we get to it, that's what I'm talking about, vindication. I believe that God will work among his people. I believe there's a place there that you must see and come to be able to understand. You know, to be able to come to that place, I believe there's a position there that we must reach to be able to understand. Now, if the heat's a little too high, you can turn it down and everything for you and just make yourself comfortable. But now, with what we brought out this morning, I wrote in my notes the other day, with what I've said and what I've brought out this morning, I want to say something to us. I want us to catch something. We saw that we've been studying on the fifth seal, and we know that by the time that we come to where we are now in the study of the fifth seal and what it shows, that the church ages are done ended because it ends on the fourth seal. The rapture of the church has already come. The Antichrist has already been done away with as far as the church is concerned. And we come to a place there, as I said this morning, that you see then that John was taken up in Revelations 4 and 1, you know, to see the things that he would see throughout the seals and things. Then in being taken up in that, you and I have got to be taken up. We've got to come out of our carnal mind and our reasoning, our thoughts, and the way we've got everything figured out to be, and just come down and accept what God says and believe what he said. That was the main point this morning, was just to believe who we are. There's a believer's position, but the believer himself's got to believe who he is. Well, now, when we ended up, was on perfect faith, page 12, where that seeing that Jesus had faith in what the Word said he was. Now, if we're going to think about a believer's position, then Jesus, think about him now. He was the very essence of faith. He was God in human flesh. But still, he had to believe what the Word said about him. Now, when they crucified him, we're told that he was resting on one thing, on one scripture there. He believed what the Word said, and he said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Well, now, he didn't play around with them and haphazardly, you know, say it or anything, or half-doubt or anything, but he was resting on one promise that the scripture says, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He knew that within 3 days, or before that 3 days is up, he is coming out of that grave. So he said, destroy this body. In 3 days I'll raise it up. Now what gave him such of a surety? You say, well, he was God. That was why he could understand. Well, we are sons and daughters of God, are we not? The same faith in our heart that was in his heart? Is it the same Holy Ghost that we have as a birth in us tonight? Is that the same Holy Ghost that he had? It's what the Scripture teaches. Is it the same soul that he had that's divided among us in the eternal life we've got? Then all right, we ought to be able to believe the Scriptures. What does it mean the Scripture says we must die in faith? Well, to me, that means dying in the revelation of the hour we're living in, and then we can see who we are. All right, then we must believe what part of the Word that you and me, that we are. We've got to believe that. Not just haphazardly believe it or accept it. We've got to believe it. And to me, that's why I kept trying to get the point across, and I'm still trying to get it across, of what I was preaching on last week. That we've got to see that those seals, they reveal the Word as being alive. Or as we found out last week, if there's something not there in the Scriptures to show us that we're where it's at and under those seals, then where are we in the Bible? We'd be in addition to the Scriptures. We would be something that would be added to the Scriptures, and he said he'd add the plagues written in the book. We take away from the book, he'd take our name out of the book. All right, now where are we at? Well, see, I've wondered about that all ever since I found where Brother Brown said, we got to know who we are and what part of the Word we are. Have you ever noticed him talking like that? We've got to know what part of the Word we are. Well, everybody says, well, we're just the Word, and I'm just standing on that I'm a Word. Well, then, what part of the Word? All right, we found that the ages came down. The seals were broke to John on the Isle of Patmos. The ages come down through that. And as they came down, the seals revealed those ages and placed them, the prophet said, positionally to where everything was perfectly in order. We drawed it out, showing up here the ages, how the combat beast lasted. First one for 3 ages, next one for the 4th age, the next for the 5th and 6th. And the last combat beast was for the 7th age. But then in that, we can see that those 4 seals reveal the entire journey of man, as I brought out last week. And seeing the entire journey, then we know we've got to be in the Word. And that's what I hope that you're catching out of it, that we are in the Word. Those seals broke it open. Until those seals broke, we was just prophecy. The ages was written 2,000 years ago. That was just a prophecy. Luther could say, I'm the alive Word for my day, and that's right. But yet, until this hour, nobody knew where they were positionally in the Scriptures. Sure, he knew that he was to bring the message. He knew what he was doing. But this bride in the end time, the prophet said she would know where she was at in the Word. Well, then we know where we're at, don't we? The seals reveal the church. See, when the prophet preached the church ages, God come down and backed that up, didn't he? Then he come along, he preached a long time, then he came and he preached the seals. Well, he didn't go over to Genesis, as I said, and start in Genesis 1 with it. He went right straight to the first church age and started with the breaking of the seals and the actors riding down through there. And in doing that, then we found that we are in the Scriptures then. You say, what reveals me of being in the Scripture? What reveals me of being in the Scripture is the seals broke to me. Outside of that, I can't find my place in the Scripture. Show me your place in the Scripture outside the seals. You can't find it that way. It's the seals that break here after 2,000 years after the writing of the Bible that the believer can find his position. And Jesus believed his position. He knew who he was by the Word. All right, now you and I ought to be catching on to who we are by what the Word says we are. Then we've got to believe that now and stand on it. And Brother Branham says on page 38 of the Future Home, he says, recognize what part of the Word we are. See, not just say, well, I'm part of the Word. I'm glad to know that. What about the Scripture that says we are the people that the ends of the earth has come upon? Ain't that what Scripture said? We're the people that the ends of the earth have come upon. Do you realize that what if it went 20 more years? There's not a person in this building that couldn't live that long. Brother Birds, there's the oldest one, but still, God could allow him time. He could be a little over 100 or something like that, but he could still live 20 years or pretty close to 100. What would time be? So we are the ones that the end of the earth has come upon. We're down here now to where that God can come on the scene to his people, and I'm expecting him to do that. There's a position in that bride of Christ that she must reach. And she must start by believing that she's the Word. Then you come up through faith, virtue, knowledge, and all that. And then there's a place to be waiting for the revelation. All right, now that's the Scripture we just read. Because when the disciples had been tutored for 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus Christ teaching them for 3.5 years, then when he came here to them and appeared to them with the door shut, what did he do? He said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. All right, now he told those people something. And then he turned and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. All right, now, they didn't get that Holy Ghost until a few days later from that time. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came. They didn't get it right then. See, they came to a place to be waiting on that to come. All right, there's a position that you and I must reach. We must come to a place to be waiting there upon that. All right, then whatever position it is, we've got to find that place. All right, then it will just be what we're supposed to be. Now, let's just take a natural example of it. I was discussing this with my wife this week about it because these thoughts were on my mind. If we just be natural men and women, husbands and wives, you know, and children and all, we'd be a whole lot closer than what we'd think about it. What does it mean, a believer's position to a housewife? See, now you can sit down, you can say, well, Lord, I'm told I've got to find my position, and I just can't find my position. What am I supposed to do? Well, now you tell me what the housewife's supposed to do. Is she supposed to know whether she's supposed to preach or teach or... That's not her position, is it? What's her position? in the natural extent, to be a wife to her husband. What's the position to the husband? Just to be a husband to the wife. Just to be what we're supposed to be, not try to swap places with each other, but just be what we're supposed to be. All right, that way you can find your position that way. Then in the body of Christ, there's a certain place you and I must attain. Luther and them was not required to attain where we are, but yet they found their position. They found their place in the body of Christ, but they were not required what we are. See, then we're required to find out what part of the Word we are. To me, that's a believer's position, is when you find out what part of the Word we are. Alright, we've already found where we are in the seals. We've already found our place in where that the seals reveal where we are and reveal that we're the Word. Well, then, can't we accept what God says about it then? No, we want to try to figure it all out. We say, well, if it was this way, we'd be doing this way. Well, now let's just stop all that. And let me just tear it all down to where that you'll have to stop it. You know, let's just take it all out of the way where you'll have to stop that trying to figure all of it out. The denominations out there today outshine us in the way that God is dealing through healings and things like that. Well, it looks like we ought to just shut these doors and go join them, don't it? I mean, we want to be where God's at, don't we? We want to be where the Lord's moving, don't we? I mean, isn't that true? We want to be where God's at. But is He out there, or is that just a law of faith that they've reached? Is that just something that they've been able, because they're not concerned, as I've tried to explain before, they're not concerned with a change or anything. A denominational preacher standing in the pulpit tonight, all he's concerned with numbers. Fella come in at work the other day, said, how many new ones y'all get in y'all's church this week? I said, well, we hadn't got any new ones. Well, we got so many, you know, and all. Boy, he was just so spiritual. He was telling me about this woman over here that was so spiritual, and that boy, just were. And I saw the woman come down the line, and he called her name when she come by that day, and you know, and I said, heaven help. There she was, the worst thing that you could ever think of in vulgarity, working there and twisting around, and men just screaming and hollering at her all over the place. And I don't mean they just whistle. I mean they holler, and you're to see them women smile and just twist. We're walking down the alleys, and they'll just walk backwards and forth. There's one that'll just walk in alleys like that, just to get them men to whistle, knowing they're going to do that. She could turn and go around up the other side, and nobody couldn't even see her. But she'll come right down that alley just to get them to holler at her. But yet that's so spiritual. They're so religious. Well, now, if that's God, let's just stop what we're doing. Now, if that's God, let's just quit what we're doing and let's just go join up with Him. Well, now, I don't believe that's God, do you? I believe God's where His Word's at. Then we can't go on the basis of just, well, the Lord, man told me the other day, he said, God's backing them up more than He is you. I said, uh-uh. You can't tell me that. So I won't listen to stuff like that. But there's a position that you and I must reach, and it's called, as we read this morning, Heavenly Places in Christ Jesus. That's page 29 of Christ is a Mystery of God Revealed. He said the believer's position. He said that's heavenly places. All right, we read this morning, or was talking on, how that there in the Scriptures to you, and read it to you, that Ephesians 1 and about 20, that the right hand of the Father was a heavenly place. Well, right now, you and I are going to have to believe that not later on we will be, but that we are now resurrected and sitting in heavenly places. Then if we can believe that, then whatever sickness we have, We can call God down right there. Our trouble is we don't believe it. Our trouble is we don't believe what the Word said that the prophet was quoting what the Scripture says. We believe it, just stand right there and call for it. I don't care how sick we are or what's going on. Is God a respecter of persons? You mean He would come down now and go out there and heal someone that, as Brother Branham said, a prostitute come across the platform and receive divine healing? He said a real true saint come across there and fail to receive it. Now, was God backing up that prostitute? No, she was believing. And He was honoring faith. All right, all across the land tonight, there's a lot of things probably going on. But God is just honoring the faith of the people. Because God is where His Word's at. Watch it now in a minute when we get that Scripture. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And see what the prophet says about it. But now, it must be made known unto us, and here's what I want you to understand, that it's personally revealed unto us. Personally revealed unto us. That's page 45 and 44 and 45, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. A lot of this will be out of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. And if you'll read it when you get home, read the whole message, you'll see more what I'm talking about. I believe it. I believe the Word is true. And if me and you both will believe it, then Satan can't stand in the way. But see, where our trouble is doubt. Now watch what I'm talking about. Suppose you need healing, and me and you both agree and believe. All right? Read this last book and see what the prophet said. That God sometimes will test you. Sometimes He'll let that sickness stay there. To just test you. All right? That's not a sign that you're an unbeliever. That's something that God is doing for our own perfection. Well, we know all of that. We know that sickness is not there because we've been sinful. We know it can be because we've been sinful. But we know it's not always there because we have. We know sometimes it's there because that we need something in our perfection. All right? Then, by His stripes I'm healed. That settles it. Go on then and confess that. And believe it like the blind man was that Brother Brown said, go confess that you can see. And he is out on the sidewalk selling newspapers and saying, extra, extra, hear all about it. And they, you know, give all the title and things of what's going on in you. He said, the Lord heal me, I can see. Went down to get a shave or a haircut or something one day, and the barber was there with a razor fixing to work on him. And he's kind of making fun of the old man and said, I thought you went down there to that place and they prayed for you and that man told you you could see. He said he did tell me that I could see and I can. And just then his eyes opened, he jumped up and took off. Well now, 25 years Abraham waited for a promised son. But what was the waiting for? For Abraham's perfection. What was Job's trouble on him for? For his perfection. What was that man there in the Scripture where it said, who sinned, him or his mother, you know, or daddy, in that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither one, but said that God may be glorified in it. What? Not that the man couldn't see. God ain't going to get honor out the mouth of the man can't see. It was the fact that he had to be there that he couldn't see, that God could heal him, and then God would get honor out of that, wouldn't he? Well, now just go on and accept what you are and stand on what you are. Believe what you are by the Word. Then God is personal unto you. Read all the way through Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, especially page 69 and 70, where He says it's personal unto you. Let's just read that, where He says it's something personal to the individual. Because I want you to get this as a background of what we're going to speak on just a minute on vindication. And remember, think of it, last, next to the last paragraph, page 69. By the living presence of the living Christ, by the living Word. Oh, living Christ, living presence, living Word, watch. By his own personal vindication proves his church. Not members. See, it's not proved by just members. He never done it in the days of Moses. He never done it in the days of anybody else. At the end of the world, when it come to the place where it was the destruction, in the days of Lot's, it wasn't membership. It was personal vindication. See what he's driving at now? It's not membership. He didn't do it in the days of Moses that way. He didn't do it in Lot's day that way. He done it through a personal vindication. God in flesh, see, personal vindication. Remember, think of it, that people born of his Spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live, and the living God takes his living Word and vindicates it personally. This life that's in the Word, the germ that's in the seed, and the Word is the seed that a sower went to sow, and the life is Christ in the Word personally in you, vindicating something that you cannot do. See, it's something you can't do. Proving himself that it's not you, but it's him, and you become one, a love slave to him to be a bride. All right, then it's something personal. His presence in the individual with a personal vindication of himself expressing himself, the living Word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. All right, now what have we found? We are the living Word for the day, then. We are the people at the ends of the world's come upon. We are the bride of Christ. We believe that, don't we? Then it's God's personal vindication. See, then when you speak of vindication, everybody says, well, vindication, said, what that is all these, I'll take you by the hand. That wasn't a vindication to the prophet. That was something for the people to look at. The vindication has always been whether the man stayed with the Word or not. Signs and wonders can be produced by the Antichrist. But he can't bring the Word. What's a true vindication? Whether a man stays with the Word or not. Watch it. Now, what does the word vindication mean? It means to justify. It means to prove. Let's see. It means to justify, to maintain as true and correct. It's a defense of statement against denial or doubt. In other words, it's proof. Now, think for a minute now. When the church believes... Now, this is a statement I want you to take home with you and think about. As I read this morning to you from page 4 of Proving His Word, Brother Branham says we've got to recognize it. All right? That's on the new book, Proving His Word, from Los Angeles, book 3, the last book. He said we've got to recognize it. He said if we don't recognize it, it won't do us no good. Now, think about this statement. When the church believes, she's at the place God can move upon the scene. Until then, he can't. You want to know what's holding off the rapture and all the things? The people. We are. When we recognize, not how to have all kind of signs going on, because the Antichrist can do that. I don't mean he can do it himself, but I mean there is an hour here that the anointing is so great out there until there are healings and all happening all over the world and all kind of Satan cults and everything could be thought of and divine healing going on in them. So that's not a vindication of what the truth is now, is it? The only vindication you can have is whether or not the Word is there. All right, then if the church will ever believe that. Brother Brown said if you could get, 12 men in the right frame of mind, said the rapture would take place, something like that. Well, to me, what is the right frame of mind? The right frame of mind is to believe the Word. Take what the Word says and stand on it. You name it and tell me what your pace is. Basing yours on. What are you looking for a rapture to cause a rapture? People are looking for great sweets to come among them, you know, and all kind of things to happen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope they do. But show me the scripture where it ever come that way. Brother Branham said on the adoption that he'd take you out on the backside of the desert somewhere and adopt you. But yet we think about putting you up out here in front of him like the Old Testament adoption that you got to put it all together. But we think we're going to be out here somewhere in the city of Gainesville standing on the square. And about that time a great voice is going to come down from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Now you got to listen to this group of people. Well, now that might happen, but I don't believe it will. If it follows true to form the way ever scripture's in here and the Bible follows true to form, I believe she'll be over with before the people even realize what's happened. Before the majority of the people of this message ever realize what has happened, it'll be over with. Now, I believe that's the way the scripture will run true to form. How many knew John was here in his preachings we was talking about this morning? When he said all the high places will be made low and all the low places high and all, and the man stand out there in the mud up to his knees preaching the gospel, saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that fulfilled all of them scriptures. Of that. How many believe the Lord Jesus was here when he was here? He had 12. One of them was the devil. Then it's not to be looked at as large numbers. And not to be looked at then with the eyes. Now, don't get me wrong. There's supposed to be healings among us. There's supposed to be things among us. And I'm trying to preach that that's what's wrong with us. We don't believe where we are. If I really preach what I'm driving toward, then it would probably be less believe what I'm talking about. But listen, the church standing in her position is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it might look so bad to the world until they don't even think nothing's going on. Why, John, why, if he'd have had the power of God on him, why would he have, I'm taking the negative side, as Brother Brown said one time. If John had been the man he thought he was, no, why would he be cast on the Isle of Patmos and all that for them things? Why, he could have just stood out there and withstood them and just conquered all of them and just... If he had, we'd have never heard from God. Then it's not that way, is it? You've got people preaching all of these great things and all about it. All the predictions. One of them just fell through the other day. Man predicted it'd be March the 10th. Well, we're past March the 10th. All I can say is the man's wrong. If he hears this tape, he just heard me saying, I'll tell him to his face that he's wrong when he made the prediction and then now he's the one that's got to live with that. And I believe then in a bona fide true repentance. To not prop it up and say, well, what I meant was March the 14th. Well, what I meant was March the 10th of 84. I believe in just a bona fide out and out expression of saying I was wrong about March the 10th of 83. And all these others got it figured out to be April the 3rd. And as my wife said the other day, it wouldn't be April the 3rd because everybody's trying to figure it out to be April the 3rd. That's one proof it wouldn't be April the 3rd. That's good common sense, ain't it? It might be April the 4th, but it wouldn't be April the 3rd because everybody done got that figured out. And the Bible says you know not what hour. See, it don't say you can't know the week or the year or anything, but you'll not know the day nor the hour. Right, then God confounds the wise in what he's doing. But we've got to believe it. We've got to stand on it. Think about all the down through there that everybody throughout the Bible, their lives that they live is to speak of this end time. And is that true? The entire Bible is to point down here as to what is going to happen in the end time. Then show me in the Bible where it was ever that way. Pretty bad day when the three Hebrew children was walking towards the fiery furnace, wouldn't it? You've heard the little stories told in the nurseries and nothing else, you children, of how the Hebrew children was walking to the fiery furnace. They're going down there to die. pretty dark day when Daniel went to the lion's den. Pretty bad time when Jonah was thrown in the belly of the whale, wasn't it? But then God come on the scene, and that's what that I'm driving at. I believe God is on the scene. There's nothing out of cater. God ain't letting nothing being pulled over his eyes. Have you ever heard the prophet tell the story of little Moses, how he was hid down there in the bulrush, and how those angels was guarding over that little ark that floated down through there? I said, go down there and take care of him. Make sure none of them alligators don't get to him. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going down the end of the road. Well, just think. Now, God is on the end of the road waiting on me and you. But if we can't have faith enough to exist daily, let's use the scripture like it's written back there. It said, if you can't keep up with the footman, what about when the horsemen get here? And you see what that scripture is talking about? If you can't keep up with the footman, ain't no need to worry about trying to run with the horsemen, are there? You got an army out here that runs down the road and you can't keep up with them. Well, it wouldn't help you none for the horses to go flying by, would it? That just puts you further behind. Well, now what I'm trying to get us to do is to believe who we are right now and stand on that, and God will come on the scene. It's not our job to back up the Word. It's not my job to come out here and prove the Word to you. That's God's job. It's my job to preach the Word to you and to get you to believe the Word. And listen, you can take this for any statement you want it and apply it any way you want to get you to believe that I'm preaching the Word. If you don't, then I done told you, go somewhere else because you're a hindrance to me and I am to you. Because you've got to believe that that preacher is preaching the truth. Don't stay now like all these others. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Now you're going to have to believe what I'm saying. When I say believe in the truth, I'm talking about you take this Bible and you go home tonight and you take this Bible and you take this prophet's message and you lay them down side by side and you stay up until the wee hours of the morning praying and asking the Lord, is what Brother Dale telling me the truth from this Bible and these quotations here from the prophet? That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about believing me now. I ain't talking about just take my word for it and everything's going to be out. But there is something in that. You've got to believe who preaches to you. If you don't believe it, then you've got to go somewhere there. That's as true as I can base it. I've always believed what was preaching to me or I'd go somewhere else. A couple of places I had to leave because I didn't believe this preaching the truth to me. But see, then that's what I'm talking about now. We've got to believe it. And when the church believes it, now, if that won't fit every scripture in the Bible, I don't know what will. How are you healed? Because first you believe you're healed. How are you saved? Because first you believe you're saved. How will you ever be raptured? Because first you believe you're raptured. All right, then believe it first and recognize the time. The prophet preached a message called Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. Well, we've done had that. That was Brother Branham as he is preaching here. All right? But that message there is just as much present tense today as this Bible is. Ain't that true? Recognizing our day and its message. Recognizing where we are and who we are. Because if we don't do that, then how can we expect God to come down? Brother Brown said, when the church recognizes who she is, she'll be gone. And as I said this morning, they evidently picked up a thought from the people of thinking, well, no, And on page 37 and 38, Christ is a mystery of God revealed. He said, oh, yes, it will. When the church recognizes her position, recognize the day that we're living in, the hour that we're living in, what we're trying to do, what's our goal, what's in mind, then what is the believer's position? There's only one position, and that's in the Word of this hour that we're living. Where we're at right now. That's the only position I can see. As Brother Branham, they kept asking him, Brother Branham, where should we be at? Where should we live at? What should we do? You know, he went out to Tucson and and stayed out there because the Lord had sent him. He told the people to stay in Jeffersonville. He'd be back to preach to them. And they kept on hounding him. Brother Branham, where should we be? What place should we be in? And he kept on trying to divert that question off, and then all at once he said, now I've got it. He said, there ain't but one place to be. And he said, I'm going to tell you the place to be. Well, boy, I'll bet you they was ears stretched all over the place just listening. They thought he was going to say Tucson, Arizona, or Jeffersonville, or Montana, or some state and some county. He said, that place is in Jesus Christ. He said, that's the only place that's safe. That's the only place to be. Then it wouldn't matter where you're at. It wouldn't make no difference where you're at. If God sent me as much as California shaking, if God told me to go to California, I'd just go to California. As much as I hate the shaking and the rumbling and the fear that goes with all of that living out there, if God told me to go, that's where I'd go. Because I wouldn't worry about anything going wrong while I was there. See, because God would take care of him if he sent me. It don't look like it in the Bible, but you know, he never did let nobody down in the Bible, did he? We love to read the stories about it. But now, where is our heavenly place? It's the believer's position. It's where we are. Whatever position you're in, that's your position. If you're just right here, just born again, that's your position. But whatever, up through the pyramid or up to brotherly kind, that's a position. Even if the headstone is on the individual, that's a position. That's your position. But you're going to have to recognize somebody else's position. And he said, you've got to recognize your position. Well, see, then as I said a while ago, what would be hard for a woman to try to find her position? You know what a woman's position is? Being a woman. And then in that, seeking the Word to live in her life and do what the Word says in her life to be. And she's in her position. What's a position to a man that's not a preacher? Just to be a husband, ain't it? To be a good father, a provider for his family, to be a one that would take care of his family and all like that. He hasn't got to worry about whether or not he's supposed to preach or whether or not he's supposed to do this, that, or the other. All he's got to worry about is providing for his family. And then what? Then believing the Word for the hour that we're living in is the position the believer's got to be in, whether man, wife, woman, preacher, or who he is. Now, I'm not just telling you, say, go home, just be husband and wife, and we're going into rapture. Now, don't get that started. It's your position in this Word that you're constantly praying and seeking God for what He wants you to have and to see. Where He wants you to be. Praying and finding out for yourself, because we've done talked about it being personal to each one of us. See, we're Gentiles. Gentiles come in as individuals in the body of Christ. Well, see, it don't matter then where mama goes or daddy goes. It's me and you as personal individuals. Mom and daddy has to answer for themselves. The children, they have to answer for themselves when they come to the age of accountability. It's not what mom and daddy does. It's what you do now. You've got to be concerned with it. You've got your position. And listen, if you're born again, you're right there at faith just like the rest. It don't matter how big they are or how little they are. And God can carry you up the pyramid the same way He can carry any individual in here. And you can find your place in God. But you know what we want to do? We don't want to find our place naturally or spiritually. Brother Brown telling about that woman that, you know, to be a wife. Now, this is a funny illustration, but it's not funny, but I mean, you might think it is. You remember the man that was bragging on his wife and telling everybody that his wife was a Christian? And he was down at the bar drinking with the men, and he was bragging on how his wife was such a Christian, and they didn't believe him. He said, let's come on, go home with him. They made out like they was drunk. And they went in the house staggering and stomping around and kicking stuff around. Man ordered his wife, get up and cook me some breakfast. She got up and cooked his breakfast and everything going on through, you know, fixing his breakfast and all. And then he just took it. He said, you know, I don't like my eggs that way, and throw them down on the floor. Got up and stomped out of the house, told the men, said, come on. They went outside. And they were standing out there listening. And that little woman in there singing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me." What? Cleaning up them eggs. Now, where would that fit you women? Then you'll find out you ain't in too good a position. That's what's wrong with all of us. Where would it fit the men now? Not throwing off on the woman. Their eyes is blinded to the real, true, living God out of these scriptures. Man has blinded them with their thoughts and ideas. All they can see is God in you. Man down there at work that used to read the books a little bit. Fella kept on making fun of us, Dick, now, and Fred, and myself. All that work. And he said, "Well, there's one thing about it." You know, he kept making fun of us in front of this man. He said, "There's one thing about it. They live what they believe, and you don't. Because we don't live there no different than we do anywhere else." Well, see, then that will win the person. As I said about Brother Branham, was it all the great gifts that Brother Branham had to tell that hunter? All of the things he could have told him. You remember the man that was so mean that he had the little whistle that he'd blow and made the doe stand up and he was going to kill her? It wasn't all them gifts he had. It wasn't all of that discernment that he could have told him who his great-grandmother was and his mother and daddy and all down through his life and told him everything he'd ever done in his life. It wasn't all that it won the man to the Lord with. It was seeing something genuine when that whistle blowed and that mother deer knew that there was a baby deer somewhere. That was a sound of a baby deer that was in trouble. And she stood up and gave her life. She was willing to put it on the line. And then what about me and you? What about us? Are we willing to put our life on the line to find a position in Christ? Recognizing our day and its message. Recognize our position. And then we expect God to come down now. But now let's just think for a minute now. I want this thought in your mind as we come to a close. What is vindication? It's to prove. Now, Brother Branham said, this church, watch it tie together now with last Sunday's message. You'll see why I'm speaking on this line. He said, this church is to prove Malachi 4. It's to vindicate Malachi 4. I didn't write it down. I've got it on some notes at the house, but if you want it, I'll find it for you. He said they're to vindicate Luke 17:30, Malachi 4, Revelations 10:7. Vindicate it. You mean after all now, listen, after all that God done through the prophet in this last days, and he talked of Malachi 4, he talked of Luke 17:30, he talked of Revelations 10:7, and he would stand there and say, in the day that the Son of Man would be revealed, and he said, if the Son of Man is here today like he was from Luke 17:30, when he was there, said, let's see him come and do the same thing. You mean the bride has still got to vindicate Luke 17:30? Now, that's what he said. In other words, that scripture has not fully been completed yet. Because I've got them in the front of my Bible, if you'd like them. I don't know how many pages of the Son of Man being in the bride, being the bride of Jesus Christ. Because the Son of Man is the Word. That's what it is. Then the Word there has got to be vindicated by the bride of Christ even after all that the prophet has done. There's something about me and you. All right, now, if you can tie it together. Tie it with last week's message right there then. Tie that with it now that the church has got to vindicate Malachi 4, Luke 17:30. Tie that back with last week's message that the seals reveal that me and you are the alive Word. All right, what would be a proof then? When the Word is made alive, it can't be questioned no more. The prophet said, as long as it's on the pages of this Bible, it can be questioned. But said, once it's made alive, it cannot be questioned no more. What the Lord has revealed to me, there's no need of you questioning it. It won't do no good. I have to be that honest. You need to be that honest. Now, what God will show me if I'm off somewhere, He'll show me where I'm off. He might use you to show me where I'm off. But what He's revealed to me, I said, then is alive in my heart. And you can talk to me about a Trinity all you want to, and I don't care nothing about what you're talking about. You can talk to me about how all the Church of God is the greatest church in the world, and it's the only one going. I'll laugh in your face. Not to ridicule you, but just laugh because you're not right. See, that's been revealed to me, what God's talking about in there. All right, then vindication is to prove a statement to be true. And Brother Brown said we were to vindicate that. All right, then we'll have to vindicate those Scriptures, and in vindicating those Scriptures, you'll see they're right there in the seals. The alive Word is a vindication always. I take the Scripture we're talking about. Even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Think about that Scripture. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And look what the Scripture says about it. I mean, what the prophet says about it. Page 66, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Watch here. Here's the beautiful. I don't want you to miss this. Now, everybody and you people on tape out in the jungles and wherever you hear it, now listen. And as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, see. Now watch, the Father that sent Him went in Him to vindicate Himself right. The Father that was said, even as the Father has sent me, Jesus said. Now how did the Father send Him? He became Him and went, didn't He? That's how He become that. And He vindicated Him to be true. He showed He was the alive Word. All right? Even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. What? He's going to come and go in us the same way. So it's Christ living among the people throughout the seven church ages. Every age was Christ living in the people. And then the seals break. And when they break, what do they reveal? They reveal the ages that God was alive down through those ages. That's what they prove. That God's alive. They vindicate that God is alive. See, I no longer have to question that God's alive in Wesley's age and Luther's age, Columbo, Martin, Irenaeus, and Paul and all them. I don't have to question that. You could bring in a Baptist today and he'd question whether even these men existed maybe or something. But you can't question it to me. Why? Because God took the seal off the book, and when He did, it revealed those men being there. And the ages as Christ revealing Himself, as I said, when I wrote it out, what is it? Christ revealing Himself to the seven church ages. That's what the prophet said. Just read it out of the book. I just put the page numbers up where you could read them. Christ revealing Himself throughout the seven church ages. Revealing Himself to those ages. What? As the alive Word. That turns around, puts you right back in the Bible, and there's your vindication. There's what the whole Scripture spoke of. Even as the Father has sent me, He came down and went in me and vindicated. So send I you, there'll be seven church ages. I'll come and live in you through those seven church ages. And I'll back up what you say. All right, with that in mind then, I challenge me and you for one thing. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need in your life tonight? I spoke down at the plant one day there to the brothers. They was talking about questions and answers and all. And I stood there and when I got through, I said, the Holy Spirit's here. And I said, now ask any question you want to ask. And let's see if He'll answer it. All right, I say the same to you tonight. Whatever you got need of, God's here. You need healing? Just stand up. I mean it physically. Stand up if you need healing. Just stand up and stay up. I'm just telling you, if you need healing, stand up. Just take my word and believe it. Because I prove what I'm talking about in the Scriptures here to be right. God has got to be here with us. Now what else? What do you need? What's any of you need? You need salvation? Just stand up. Whatever it takes, whatever you need, you stand up for it and see if God won't give it to you. Do you believe the Word? Then whatever you want, stand up for it and God will give it to you. If He won't, then God's a liar. Now, you want to make Him out a liar? He's a liar if He don't come and do what He said. That's what I believe. That's what I've aimed at. That's what I've preached at all of my life. That God would come right down to this earth at the very words of a person and do what He said He would do, because He done it through the prophet and He's no respecter of persons. I don't mean saying I'm a prophet and I'm this, that, or I'm just telling you the honest truth tonight, and you believe it. You believe what was said to you and see if God won't come to it and back it up and prove that it's right. The Bible said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Brother Ryan said, it didn't say they'd get healed right instantly, that it might be months. And he said, that's where our trouble's at. All right, if you need healing, just go accept it that way. Say, Lord, I'm standing. That's what I need. You need salvation, just go accept it that way. Just whatever you need. And now let's just all stand. Because all of us need a closer walk with the Lord. All of us. Let's just sing a little verse of I Love Him, and you just accept what you have need of. Just believe what you've got. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Is that the Scripture? Has the prophet come right down with the Scriptures and said it here? Has the Father sent Him to vindicate Himself? For He was the Word, and the same Jesus that sends you goes with you to vindicate the same God. As the Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so I'll send you, and you live by me. What is it? He's the Word. You live by the Word. That's the only thing you can live by. Believe the Word. I have to believe it. I have to believe that God will give me a message to come and speak to you. Then you're expected to believe. What? Do what I said. Go home and check what I said now by the message and see what I said is right or not. And you'll find out one of these days that you can believe what a person says. Because God will stay with the person and keep the person right. You need to worry about the person getting exalted. Don't worry about that. We're done past that day. Now, there's plenty of them out there that will, but check what the man says by what he's always said back there. And see if what I've always said back there in those tapes ain't pointing down to this very hour right here. I challenge you to listen to every tape back there and prove me wrong on that. That what I've always pointed at was God living among His people doing what you and me would ask Him to do. And I believe He's here to do it. I believe He's here to answer any question you've got in your mind. He's here to settle any problem you've got. But first you've got to believe it. First, you've got to recognize it. If you have any need, if you want us to pray with you or anything else, then the altar's open. Let's just sing a verse of that. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. And just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it this way now. He heals me. He heals me. Because He first love me, and by His stripes I'm healed completely now. I'm free. Now as we pray in a dismissal prayer, you just thank the Lord for doing what He's already done and go believing it. Stand on your confession. Scripture said, if you'll confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. All right, go confess your healing before man.
Go confess your salvation before the people. But listen, don't go confess salvation and live like the devil. As I said about the man this morning, it talks about he's a Sunday school teacher, a deacon in the church, he's all kind of things, and then he runs after women. Don't go talking like that. As I told him at the house today, there was a man told us the other day down there at work, and I won't call his name, but some will know who he is if he ever hear these tapes, and he probably will himself. And if he does, then he ought to know he's wrong. But a man said, boy, the Lord's really with me the other day. He said, I went up the road to a certain place, come back down the expressway, and he said, I was running 75 miles an hour, and said, something just seemed to tell me to slow down. He said, slow down, something, you know, that he is explaining what happened. He said, went around a curve, and there sat a police car. Said, the Lord was with me, taking care of me. Now, let's don't play foolish games with the Lord. That man was wrong because the prophet said you go running down the road on the highway like that, deliberately speeding. He said it's premeditated murder. When you deliberately speed down the highway, it's premeditated murder. Now then, what is it? See, we say the Lord is with us to protect us from something like that, but then we don't believe the Lord can guide us. I believe the Lord's with us. But I don't believe he's with us in garbage. I believe he's with us in truth. I believe he's with us in a life that we can live in ourselves. Not a life we can live now, but a life he can live in us and be what he wants to be. And love one another no matter what. Because that's what I believe him to be. And then in all of that, see, I can take this message, this Bible, and I can say that I recognize our day. And its message. What is the message of this day? It's those seven seals showing us who we are and where we are. It's what they're doing for us. It's bringing out that we are the alive Word and finding our place in the Scriptures. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, Father, we pray for each one of these that have stood. Because, Lord, we preach what we believe to be the truth. That you are now vindicating your people because the revelation of the Word, the people in their hearts believing it, that's the greatest vindication of all. And then you can come upon the scene with that, and you can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cast out the devils. You can raise this person in the rapture. I pray, Lord, that you would guide each one. Take care of each one on the highway. Supply the needs of the people. And direct us by your loving grace that we always look to you for what we have need of. Let it not be just lip service that we speak about thee tonight, but yet in our hearts we know that thou art God and there is none other, that you dwell among your people in love and fellowship with them, and that you, Lord, will manifest yourself in our day to carry us out of here. You've already done it through the lips and the service and the life of the prophet. But we believe that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you'll work among us the same way. And may the people listen now, Lord, feel your presence and know that you're here with us and that you'll answer any desire that they have in their heart. May they reach up just now and partake of the tree of life, knowing the word of the living God has been handed down to the people in this last days. And we feast upon that word daily as we study and meditate upon thee, because it's the word, and it's word to word, and the word is made flesh among us, vindicated as being that, and being a personal God. We're resurrected and sitting in heavenly places, and then by doing that we can be physically resurrected one day to sit with you in those places. But Lord, we can't do it unless we're the Word here. Guide us now. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow. Don't forget, we have a new book. Anyone needs a copy of it, you